Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 90. I am one of your hosts, Kevin. I got Yanis here with me. How you doing, bro?
Chilling. Celtics in seven.
Celtics in seven? Oh, man. Did you watch that last night? Holy...
I watched it. I was at a barbecue, but we watched it fourth quarter. It was...
Dude. Okay, wait. You want the Celtics to win?
No, I wanted the Heat to win. But, I mean, right now, it's looking like... Yeah, you can't make that shit up. It's...
Dang, dude. 0.1 seconds. You can't make that shit up.
I'm still in disbelief by how it happened. But yeah, it's the magic of the playoffs, I guess. We'll see how Game 7 goes.
I feel bad for Jimmy, but... Hey, Game 7... No team in NBA history has ever come back from being 3-0 down in the playoffs. It's nuts. Teams that are up 3-0 have gone 150-0. So this is... History's on the line right now. On May 28th, right after the last Premier League game week of the year. So, I mean, we're going to talk about that. Man City champions, blah, 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 whatever. It is what it is. we had a pretty exciting relegation battle, though. We'll talk about that when we get to the Prem, but we want to talk about some Champions League first because those semis were kind of popping, except the Serie A one because it was a snooze fest for me. But it is what it is. City pretty much dismantling Madrid. I mean, what can we say about that? I feel like that was completely unexpected, but also not surprising. Like, any City result doesn't surprise me anymore. They could destroy the opponents, or they could completely collapse, or, you know, the Pep overthinking, overanalyzing, trying to get cute with the tactics. Like, that doesn't surprise me either. But, I mean, they were the favorites, and... They won a pretty decisive game. Thoughts?
I mean, kind of like you, I wasn't expecting it to be this convincing of a win. I guess Madrid kind of was unlucky in a few instances, but Madrid just got outplayed by a better team. City was definitely the better team over two legs. Yeah. Over two legs, they were definitely the better team. Everybody sort of had seen this coming. I think most people said City was going to win, but they didn't see that result.
Not this way.
Yeah. There's a way to lose in Madrid. I mean, I didn't know this wasn't the Madrid that we usually are used to seeing. So, I mean, I guess they have their off days as well. It just happened to be a Champions League semis. But yeah, man, it's. And I mean Inter was just a better team as well. I thought Milan was gonna look better with Leao. They did, but it still wasn't enough. And yeah, over two legs, Inter was the better team.
Yeah, I mean Milan didn't score a goal, AC Milan. So it's tough, but I feel like Inter have been in a better form. I mean, I think we had high hopes for AC Milan because they had just came off beating Napoli, right? And we were like, oh, dang, you know, Napoli was one of the big favorites, one of the best team in the Serie A this year. They really underperformed. But, I mean, City, they, like, if you look at their run, like, they completely dismantled Leipzig. They battered Bayern 4-1, beat Madrid 5-1. Like, they're on a mission this year. They might win the treble. I think the only team that can stop them is United in the FA Cup, and United are going to be heavy underdogs. So it's not like they're going to be it's supposed to be a close matchup. Like, oh, man,
I think Napoli is going to have a lot of regrets just because Milan was a very winnable series. I know Osimhen was injured, but they still have enough quality to. They should have enough quality to still beat them. But, I mean, you can't go back in the past. They have the Serie A, which is what they wanted. And they're going to be back in the Champions League next year, hopefully with the same squad. So, we'll see what happens there with them. But, yeah, I don't think United is beating City in the FA Cup final.
But, I mean, we spoke about this. I have a couple questions I want to ask you. But first, like, We spoke about this right before we started recording, that if you had to choose one team to beat City to ruin the treble, whether it be United in the FA Cup final or Inter in the Champions League final, I feel like we're leaning United have a better chance. Just because I feel like United recently have had like kind of City's number. It's like either we get destroyed or we pull out like a huge upset win for some reason. And lately we've pulled out those upset wins, but I feel like this year's City is just different. They know they're not worried. Like, they feel like they're playing with no stress. Like, they rotate the whole squad. Everybody's always fresh. And they can always go out there and play their starting, like, their best 11 for the big games. And they do, and they win.
I feel like the only team that can beat City, the only person that can beat City is, like, Pep. Because Pep can do some overthinking, and that just causes, like, confusion in the squad and kind of gives them a bad result. But overall, I do.
But I feel like this year he hasn't been doing that much.
I feel like he's learning from his mistake, which is great. But yeah, United.
He made the same mistake like 3 years in a row. About time you learn.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's Pep for you. That's Pep for you. You got to learn at some point. But yeah, I think United probably has a better chance than Inter, just because I feel like City really, really wants the Champions League. Not that they don't want the FA Cup. I just think that the Champions League is what they really need, or they really want, especially for Pep. I still think that they're going to win both games, but I do think that people seem to be sleeping on Inter and think that it's going to be a cakewalk for City. I don't think so. I think Inter's been having a good run of games lately. They won the Coppa Italia as well. Lukaku's actually getting in a good run of form, so is Lautaro. So they're a dangerous team still. I mean, they didn't make it to the final just by, I guess, sheer luck. They've actually earned their spot there. So I do think.
I mean, if you look at their run, they beat Porto 1-0, they beat Benfica 5-3, and they beat AC Milan.
You still have to win those games.
You still got to win those games, but like when you look at Man City beating Leipzig, Bayern, Madrid, and then you look at Inter beating Porto, Benfica, and AC Milan, like the quality level of the competition there is extremely drastic.
I mean, that's a fair point, but like. Benfica is a Portuguese champion this year. It's not like they're bad. They're like a low level team. Yeah, it is Portugal, but they're still a quality squad, right? But I do feel like
which of these teams is losing to Benfica? Okay, let me know. Is Bayern losing to Benfica?
No.
Is PSG losing to Benfica?
No.
No. Is Leipzig losing to Benfica?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
More than Bayern and PSG.
And more than the others for sure. Is Chelsea losing to Benfica?
Yes.
That's probably, yeah. With Chelsea's run of form now, yeah. Dortmund losing to Benfica? I'd take Dortmund.
Really? I don't want to take Dortmund any bet anymore.
I mean, listen, we're going to talk about Dortmund after. But if you give me two games, I'm taking Dortmund. Madrid is beating Benfica and Liverpool is beating Benfica.
Yeah, sure.
So that's almost all the teams are beating Benfica from that side of the bracket, except two, and those two are a toss-up. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea beat Benfica. I wouldn't be surprised if Dortmund beat Benfica.
Yeah, but then, like, okay, sure, you can't make that argument, but what am I supposed to say? Like, I don't make the bracket. I didn't choose that.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I don't know. Like, we're trying to defend Inter's run. Like, yeah, they needed to beat the teams in front of them. You can only play who's in front of you.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the fact that, like, if you're playing, quote-unquote, like, much lesser competition, you know, they're gonna play against City and they're not gonna have faced a team of this caliber the whole year. They're not gonna have played a team of this caliber.
I wouldn't say that. They played Napoli.
Napoli's not of City's caliber.
Yeah, I mean that is the final that everybody wanted to see, though. Napoli City. So I wouldn't say that Napoli's like the second best team in Europe after City this year, I'd say.
It's tough because they're playing in the Serie A, and I mean, you can say two of the teams made the semifinals, but it was. I feel there's a big asterisk there. So, either way.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still saying City wins. I'm just saying it's not going to be a cakewalk. That's all.
The thing is, I feel like Inter have a chance to surprise with tactics. But the thing is, if their tactics don't get them right, and they don't kind of like throw City off their footing a little bit, then City are going to dismantle them with talent. Dismantle them, because not only do they have talent, but they have tactics as well. So they got to get a game plan that's super sound, that can counter what City's going to come with, and they got to stick to it and play to perfection. Because if they're not playing, if they don't play perfect, they're going to lose the game. And it might be bad. I think City's winning by at least two goals. I think it's going to be.
Yeah, and they also have to
2-0 at halftime. And then the game ends maybe 3-1.
At halftime.
Watch. It's going to be like 2-0 at halftime, or like, and the game's going to end like 3-1 or 4-1.
I think it's going to be a 1-0 game again.
I don't know. We'll see. But
I didn't put it on the schedule, but just real quick, Europa League, what do you got in the semi, in the final?
I think Sevilla wins it.
Sevilla wins it? I'm going to Roma.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be rooting for Mourinho, but I think Sevilla wins it. Roma, listen, they missed out on top four. You saw that, right? Like, Mourinho, they kind of lost that game.
I saw that, yeah.
Missed out on top four. It's kind of devastating for them, but they can still get to the Champions League by winning the Europa League. So they're going to put it all on the table.
Hey, Mourinho just needs one goal. He needs one goal. That's all.
You think one goal, park the bus, and that's it?
Exactly.
Classic Mourinho.
He's a cup specialist, bro. He gets the finals for a reason.
Can you believe Daniel Levy fired him before the cup final?
That's the dumbest move in the history of football.
That's why Spurs will never do anything great.
So Spurs, nah. After that move, I was like, yeah, I lost respect for Daniel Levy.
Man, that's why nobody wants to coach there. And you saw Pochettino's Chelsea, pretty much, eh? Done deal?
I mean, I called it.
Yeah, you did call it. All the signs are pointed to Nagelsmann, and then I think he didn't really agree with...
I think he wants Madrid.
You think? He's not getting Madrid. You saw Brazil wants Ancelotti?
Yeah, I kind of like that. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Why would Ancelotti leave Madrid, though?
Why would he not? He's been to Madrid for how many years already?
I know, but does he just not want to be there anymore?
I think he just wants to change the scenery. And the contract runs out next year, so...
I mean, he came there, like, last year, no?
No, I think it's 3 years. I think it's been 2 years. He has one Champions League with them.
He came in the middle of the season. He literally went to Everton, and they were like, oh, we want you. And he was like, all right, peace, Everton. Like, he didn't even finish the season there. I mean, fair play. You're not saying no to Madrid, especially when you're at Everton, so... But speaking of Madrid, I wanted to ask you a couple questions because it feels like Madrid have had kind of like a stagnant season a little bit, but let me explain. They had a good season, right? They don't win La Liga. They finished second. It was a close race for second place because Barca had the league. It's been a minute. But you really see that when they played City, they got completely dismantled, and it really begs the question that they got their midfield overrun, and Modric is one legendary. Cruz is legendary, but they're not in their prime anymore. And you got a guy like Camavinga, who's like one of the next big midfielders, and you've been playing him at left back the whole season. Did you have to? That's my question. Like, you kind of see when you play a team like City's level, like, you can maybe get by with Camavinga at left back the whole season playing against teams that are that you can easily out-talent. When you play a team that's really strong, do you kind of get exposed there that you're kind of like wasting that talent at left back right there?
They targeted him a lot too.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I think Bernardo Silva's two goals came from that side.
So that's what I'm saying. You kind of like, yeah, you could get away with it because you weren't playing teams that could expose you. But as soon as you play a team that's actually like a strong competitor, you get completely exposed and dismantled there. And then he didn't even adapt. So.
Yeah, but at the same time, he had a great first game, the first leg, too. It's tough. I think the injuries to Mendy kind of forced them to use him at left back. I don't, like, he said himself, he doesn't like the position much.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. He still doesn't like it. Even though he plays well, because Camavinga is a great player. Like, you could put any great player at a certain position, and he can play to a certain level of quality, but he doesn't like it, obviously.
Yeah. It's not his strong, like, you're not using his best assets playing him there. But like I said, like, their injuries kind of forced them to use that option, uses him there. I think hopefully they find another option for left back for him the next season. I think they already signed this left back. I can't remember. I think he used to play. There was a left back that they signed from Rayo Vallecano, if I remember correctly. So it seems like there's some reinforcement coming from there. But yeah, it's he's going back to midfield the next season for sure. At least I would expect so.
I hope so, for his sake.
You think, like, if Madrid doesn't win a trophy, it's like a bad season for them?
I mean, those are the expectations when you play Real Madrid.
Yeah, that's a standard for Madrid, though. That's like, and that's why they're the best, the greatest club ever. I think they might be the greatest club in any sport, like in sports in general. That's a debate for another day, but.
Yeah, it's a debate for another day. Definitely in that conversation. But one more question before we move to talking about the Premier League. I want to talk about Napoli just real quick. I wanted to say, like, we said, like, they've been one of the best teams in Europe the whole season, right? So that performance they had in the Champions League is kind of devastating because they had it in their power to make the final easily with the run that they could have had. Do you think that they kind of mismanaged their resources a little bit where they had the league locked up for a while? And I feel like at that point, you got to start resource management with your players' playing time and stuff like that. Do you think they kind of just got, like, they didn't really hold back in the league? Because they won the league by a lot of points. Like, they did not have to go all out for a while. You know what I mean?
But I think until the league is, like, locked up, you can't really, like...
No, but I feel like the league is almost, like... There's one game left? There's one game left in the season for them, and they're 16 points ahead second place. And they've been dropping points recently, so...
Yeah. I mean, we have to remember also Osimhen was injured. Maybe that's that part of the mismanagement. Maybe you don't play him the last game against where he gets injured and keep him for those two games.
I feel like you can rest your guys and you can pace yourself a little bit when you have such a huge lead in the league. Like you could afford to have like lost three games in a row without playing anybody that of stature and still have like three games in hand. It was ridiculous. Do you kind of feel like they did themselves a disservice? Maybe it's the lack of experience playing in all those multiple competitions at a high level. It kind of made it get away from themselves a little bit.
It might be a combination of a lot of things. I don't think they've mismanaged most players outside of Osimhen, really, just because of how he got injured and maybe not play him. But everybody else sort of had their minutes, and I think they've been relatively okay managing them. I mean, if you look at those games too, like they weren't like it's not like they got outplayed in those two games. For the most part, they were the dominant team. They just weren't able to like convert the chances. Milan had two, like I think Milan had two chances in two games and scored two goals. And that kind of clinched. That was a difference. Milan was just more realistic in front of goals, and that they had the experience of having Giroud there, who's been there for a minute. You know he's gonna get you a goal. You know Giroud, he's gonna get you a clutch goal regardless. And I think they probably just weren't as realistic as they were in front of goals than Milan were. That's really the main difference for me. Because overall, like they were even, I would probably say, even without Osimhen, I would put Napoli ahead of Milan. Like, if you take out Leao, they're basically even. But without her, I think Napoli was still better, the better team. So, yeah, I did expect them to win, regardless whether Osimhen was there or not. But I wouldn't call it a mismanagement of resources. I think it's part of it, but it's not the entire
story. Let's talk about some Premier League. City champions. Arsenal, second place. I think it's the first team to lose the title after being ahead at Christmas time. give me your thoughts on Arsenal season because, listen, we know City can play at an unbelievable pace of points and quality for the whole season because of their depth. But how do you feel about Arsenal season?
I think A-.
Yeah, you even went up in the A's, eh?
Yeah, I think so. We mean, if you had told me that we were going to finish second at the beginning of the season, I don't think I would have believed you. And I'm pretty sure you wouldn't have believed me as well. Signings were great. I think every signing kind of hit. I don't know if it was a bad signing this season. Arteta has a philosophy. Like I said last week, Arteta has a better... Well, last week, 2 weeks ago. The system is there. There's a philosophy. There's a way of play. There's an identity, which is great. I think maybe the one issue is probably... lacking into a goal scoring threat, more goal scoring threat going forward. That's probably what killed us in the end, towards the end of the season. I think Trossard was a great addition. I wonder who's going to leave in the summer because people are going to leave for sure. I think Xhaka's already on his way out, which is kind of sad because I thought he had a pretty good season. But overall, I'd say that for second place, Champions League is back in Emirates Stadium next year. I want to say mission half accomplished just because we were this close to get the Prem as well. But, well, this close is a kind of a... We were close. We weren't this close. We were close, but we were never really, like, far off of it. I would say A- because of that. We accomplished most of our objectives except for one. So I think Arteta has done a great job. He's made a few mistakes that he'll learn from. And hopefully rectify the shot for next year. Because next year is going to be, I think, much, much harder to get top four.
Well, definitely. We're going to see a resurgence from Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea finished 12th this year, 12th, in the bottom 10 of the Premier League. That's, we haven't seen that in a long time.
I'm really curious to see who's going to be at Chelsea next season, what they're going to look like.
I mean, with Pochettino, I feel like they're going to, do you think they're going to be able to bring in top talent? Because they just brought in a lot of players, right? There's only 11 spots that you can play at the same time.
I think he needs to focus on selling first. Yeah. They have too many players right now. They have to sell first.
That's what I'm saying, because players are not going to be satisfied being constantly on the bench, right? When you're bringing all these players, signing them for big money to put on the bench, it's not really...
I think he has the players that can play to his system right now, currently. I don't really know who he needs to add at this point. But his priority has to be selling, and selling a lot, because, like you said, they have too many players. Some players don't even have locker rooms. So, it's a situation that has to be rectified first before even considering like a new systems and stuff like that. I wonder if Mason Mount is going to stay. I know Liverpool was like high on him. I heard United was on him, but that was around the time that was when they played United like last week. So I don't know if that's legit or not.
I don't think we're in for Mason Mount, but you never know. Who are your biggest surprises this season for the Prem besides Chelsea, right?
Biggest surprise, Brighton.
And besides Chelsea.
Brighton could be one.
Brighton, what about... Is this surprising from Newcastle?
No, because we saw signs last year, towards the end of the year. Like, they were playing pretty well last year as well.
Top four, they finished in Champions League football, Liverpool, outside the top four. Another disappointing season from Klopp.
I mean, yeah. Considering how bad it started... To go back to at least getting a European spot, you could say it's a reasonable result.
Spurs finish 8th behind Villa and Brighton. They miss out on all the European football.
Yeah, Spurs is going to be interesting to see what they look like next year because there's going to be a lot of changes. I think they need a new director of football, a new manager. We don't know. Kane should leave.
Kane is gone and he's going to be... Did you see that apparently, I think the director of football of Spurs said that he addressed the rumors of Kane to United or Kane leaving, and he pretty much said that it's going to take a bid of much higher than 100 mil to get Kane from the club. And I just think they're bonkers because Mane is approaching 30. It has a 1 year left on his contract. His contract can run out and he can sign somewhere else for free. And they're going to ask for over 100 mil for him? Like, that's just, it makes no sense.
I think it's just talk at this point. It's just talk.
It must be just talk because nobody's going to pay that price for Kane when they can get him for free a year later. And they could literally spend that money on somebody like 8 to 9 years younger who has a bright future ahead of them, who they can mold to the playing style that the team wants to play, and don't have to spend 100 mil plus on a player like that. And I think if Spurs hold off on selling Kane for that reason, because they're asking an exorbitant amount of money, that it's just another reason why this club will never do anything great, because they're missing out on a big opportunity to cash in for a player that has run its course at your club, and you just gotta take it on the chin and move on at this point, because I don't think he wants to be there anymore. And
yeah, I agree. Take DL, you take the money, reinforce your squad.
Like 100 mil, you can do so much for your squad with that money.
You're not gonna have to.
You're not getting 100 mil, but you don't want to get zero either. So
realistically, you're getting, I think the most you can get is 60 to 70.
I think he probably goes for like less than 60. I would guess between 40 and 60.
40 is low for Kane.
40 is low, but I can see like a 55 or a 58 type of thing, you know?
I don't think he's going anything under 50. I remember Torres is 50, so.
That's fair. It's just because it's the predicament with the contract, right? Like in 1 year, he can go anywhere for free. So you can only pay so much for a player like that when you can just wait an extra year and not have to pay that amount of money, you know?
He's got 30 goals.
Most definitely. And that's why he's gonna require a fee. But you can't ask 100 mil or whatever for a player that in a year you can get for nothing. So that's the question there. It's not a matter of quality. It's a matter of contract. And timing. If he had like 3 years on his contract or something like that, then that's a different story. But 1 year?
I was gonna ask you, who do you think should be manager of the season?
I'm thinking.
I have two options.
Okay, let me guess your options, okay? I think one of your options is. All right, Eddie Howe.
Yes.
Yeah, and Frank Lampard.
Oh.
I think Eddie Howe, and I think Eddie Howe probably wins it, or De Zerbi also great season.
I think it's a mix between Eddie Howe, De Zerbi, and Arteta, but I think Eddie Howe takes it.
Arteta is definitely in the conversation, most definitely. I think with the way Arsenal slowed down in the second half and kind of quote unquote bottled the league, kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But if Arsenal, you know, like, let's say at Christmas they weren't top of the table and they were like fifth and then they end up finishing second, it gives you a different perspective on the season than if you were first the whole year and then finishing second, you know?
Yeah. I think overall, considering that Newcastle's going to get Champions League next season, Eddie Howe has to get it.
And when you look, Arsenal lost the league by 5 points, and in not counting today, your last two games lost to Forest and lost to Brighton. Two wins there, and you guys win the league. Crazy, right?
I mean, I don't want to think about the past, but yeah, it is kind of.
I mean, listen, City could definitely. I mean, they lost today, right? But I don't think City loses today if they know the title is on the line.
Yeah. Oh, you know who else too? You know, Emery could be interesting. Picked up Villa back where, I mean, I think they want it to be. Villa is doing great. I don't think they're not in Europe, are they?
Yes, they are. They finished above Spurs.
Oh snap! They are. Yeah, that's good for them. Even Brentford had a solid season.
Yeah, a lot of teams had a solid season.
Honestly, the top 10 has been relatively solid.
You know who's not in the top 10? Chelsea.
Like if you look at the top 10, like all those teams have had a good run of games for at least a couple parts of the season, which makes sense as to how wide they're where they are currently.
I'm trying to think.
Were you still in the Prem?
Yeah, I was about the Prem. I forgot. Dang, that's unfortunate.
We can go Bundesliga now if you want.
You want to talk about Dortmund?
I don't want to, but we have to.
Listen, is this more of an indictment on Dortmund or to show that Bayern have kind of taken a couple steps back?
It's definitely an indictment on Dortmund.
Yeah, I agree.
This is definitely on Dortmund. Bayern should have never touched that trophy yesterday. And they struggled too. They barely...
I mean, did you see the Musiala goal though?
Yeah, it was a great goal.
That was an amazing goal to win the title, to be fair.
Yeah, they won the title. It's a title-winning goal for sure, but it should have never happened because it should have never got to that point.
Bayern did everything in their power to lose the title this year, and Dortmund had every chance to kind of clean it up, and they weren't able to make it happen. Unfortunately, going 2-0 down to Mainz early on, especially, 1-0, fine, whatever, but 2-0, and then they brought it back 2-2, but it's just not enough.
But then you miss a PK.
Yeah, does he usually take the PKs? What's it, Haller?
Yeah, Haller? He's a striker. He's taken PKs before. I don't know if he did it. He's done it with Dortmund.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if it is Bellingham the guy usually, but...
I mean, Bellingham wasn't even playing.
Yeah. He was. Did you see him crying after the game?
Yeah, I did. It's sad, but hey, he's going to Madrid, so... I feel like he's going to have a lot of regrets about it because I think he wanted to finish on a high note, but the fact that he wasn't
able... The thing is, they didn't expect to be even able to compete with Bayern for the title, right? Like, it was...
Yeah, it was going to be them and Leipzig, but they were all supposed to be behind Bayern.
Then all of a sudden, you finally get the chance to actually win the title, and you go out like that.
You balled it at home.
So sad. I feel for Marco Reus.
I feel, yeah, bro. It's been, what, 11 years now?
Yeah, he's been there forever.
Been there forever, bro. I don't know if he wants to stay here after this. That's going to be so demoralizing. I would not want to be in that locker room after this game. That's too much, man. That's too much emotions. Everybody came to the stadium thinking the trophy was theirs already. And to leave like that, in that fashion, man. That's tough. Oh, well, congrats to Bayern, though. Another trophy.
What do you think about David De Gea winning the Golden Glove?
David De Gea, the Golden Glove? I don't think so, no.
He won the Golden Glove.
Wait, this year?
Yeah.
De Gea did?
Yes.
Wait, when did that get announced?
What do you mean, when did that get announced? The Golden Glove goes to the team, the goalie that has the most clean sheets during the year in the Prem.
And De Gea has the most.
De Gea has the most.
Wow, I didn't know that.
How do you feel?
It was going to be Ederson.
Ederson has the worst clean sheets. Bro, Ederson is not a good goalkeeper. I keep telling you, Ederson is not a good goalkeeper. Man City has statistically one of the best defenses in the league, and Ederson concedes goals on usually the first shot that he gets. It's actually mind-blowing. He gets like two. He needs to make two saves, and he makes one every game.
Yikes. Yeah, that's not a great stat, Ederson. That's not a great stat.
No, Ederson is really bad. I don't know what to tell you. David De Gea has 17 clean sheets this season. Ramsdale is in second with 14.
Oh, well, congrats to him.
Tied with Alisson and Pope. Ederson has less clean sheets than Jose Sa and Martinez.
How many clean sheets does Jose Sa have?
11.
Wow. Hey. I mean, he's good with his feet. That's what matters. Matters for his team, at least, is what matters.
I wouldn't be surprised if Pep can. He's been playing Ortega recently, and Ortega has been good.
He's been playing Ortega because he wants to rest Ederson.
I know, and Ortega has been playing better.
He's not even in the same like conversation. Like that's not even good.
I wouldn't be surprised if Man City end up losing the treble because of a mistake from Ederson.
Well, I mean, if that happens, it happens. But. I don't. Hopefully, it doesn't get to that point. Did you hear what I said about Kingsley Coman, by the way?
Yeah, he's won a trophy like every year.
Every year, yeah, kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been on these top teams. Don't forget, like PSG, Bayern. Like he's always been in the teams at the top. So
ironically, the only team he's losing to it is France because he doesn't have a World Cup. Anyway, he's been at the World Cup in 2018, losing the final. He's been at the Euros in 2016, losing the final. He doesn't go to the World Cup in 2018, and he win.
Was he injured?
In 2018?
Yeah, or he just didn't make the squad?
I don't think he made the squad. Oh, he might have been injured. One of the two. I'm pretty sure he was injured, because he would have made the squad regardless.
Yeah, I mean, 2018, he was still great.
2022, he was there. 2022, he was there, but didn't win it.
Yeah, because Messi... Messi's winning the Ballon d'Or, you know that, right?
Stop.
You don't think so?
I don't want to talk about this. No, I don't think so.
Who's winning it then? It's going to be Messi.
Honestly, I don't know who's going to win it. It could be Haaland. It should be Haaland, really.
Messi put up points and he won the World Cup, dude.
Okay, I guess. And he has a Ligue 1 now to his title. Congrats. You know, they were only... You know, lost almost like beat them for the Ligue 1 title too.
I mean, listen, PSG is the Ligue 1 is less competitive than the Bundesliga.
At this point, I wonder this has to be a conversation as to is it really, because PSG is gonna be what? I mean, they've lost a couple of times. Monaco won it recently. Lille won it recently. Lens could have won it this year. I mean, this is a great run for Lens, but Bayern has been straight 11. I think Ligue 1 might be more competitive.
Yeah, you can't expect this every year, though.
I think Ligue 1 actually might be more competitive.
I don't know. The Dortmund lost the title in the middle of the last game, whereas this title is already locked up, you know?
Yeah, but then is that the first? That's the first time it happens. Usually Bayern locks it up in April.
Yeah.
11 in a row? There's no way you're telling me they're more competitive than Ligue
1. I kind of just go through the leagues, and I kind of would how I... calculate which league is more competitive than the other is I look how strong the top four is. I look at in any other game week, can a team in the relegation zone defeat a team in a Champions League spot? I feel like the bottom of the league you can't really pull off those upsets. Whereas in the Bundesliga, I feel like it happens.
I disagree. Bottoms of the league can have some. It doesn't happen often. I agree, but it can happen. And I think it can happen more than it does in the league.
I mean, it's not like the Prem. In the Prem, I feel like it happens at least once a game week. The bottom team upsets the top team.
All I'm saying is don't put some respect on Ligue 1. Breeds.
Okay, who's who is Lens is Lens better than Leipzig or Dortmund? Lens, sorry.
Yeah, you're French, Kev. Remember.
I want to say it with a French accent. Lens.
You're saying are they better than Leipzig?
Leipzig or Dortmund?
I think this year this Lens team can beat Leipzig. Yes. We'll see. I mean, they're gonna play in the Champions League next year, so we'll see what they get.
It's true. We're gonna have a lot of exciting teams in the Champions League next year. A lot of teams that are not usually there. Newcastle, Lens.
I'm gonna watch Lens a lot. I'm gonna watch out for Lens. Luis Openda, bro, watch out for him. Best striker in Ligue 1 this year.
Really?
Well, not statistically, because he's like behind Mbappe and David, but he's up there.
Bro, can we talk about the goal, like the top scorer in the Bundesliga? This is sad.
Who is it?
Nkunku, but he has 16 goals. And he won the Golden Boot.
16 goals.
16.
Yikes. That's a lot. Well, I mean, that's a lot still, but for the top?
That's the top scorer. 16 tied with Niklas Füllkrug, who is from
Wolfsburg, I think?
Werder Bremen. I think Werder Bremen.
Oh, Werder Bremen, yeah. He was at the World Cup.
So it's kind of like, dang, 16.
You're telling me they're a better league than Ligue 1. Come on now.
Yeah, you might be right.
Come on now.
Yeah, because I mean, look in Ligue 1, you got Mbappe winning it with 28, and it's Lacazette 27, Jonathan David 24. Jonathan David has a lot of penalty goals though. It's 24 goals, but 10 of them were penalties.
You still gotta score them. That means you scored 14 without penalties.
It's true. And then you look at La Liga, Lewandowski has 23, Benzema 18. Like the fact that nobody in the Bundesliga hit 20.
That's surprising. That's the thing, we took out, they took Haaland, and it was like, there's no chance. Because Bayern doesn't really have a striker like that.
Yeah.
Like, every goal from Bayern is, like, split between three or four people.
Martinelli has 15 goals this season. And Kunku won the Bundesliga scoring title with 16.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Callum Wilson has 18 goals.
Callum Wilson is a baller.
He doesn't even start all the games.
He doesn't even start. That's the worst part about it. But he's clutch when he needs to be. He's like the English Olivier Giroud.
Yes.
That's a great comparison. That's actually the legitimate best comparison we can have for him. He's Olivier Giroud, but English.
Pretty much. Let's talk about Barca, because end of an era, truly. Do you think they get Messi back?
No.
Because they're losing Busquets. They're losing Alba. No, they already lost Dani Alves. Feel like all the old pieces are gone.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to happen, right? It was bound to happen. I don't know where they're going to go, though. I hope one of them goes to MLS. But
do you think Neymar goes back?
That's a question. Neymar has been linked with a lot of clubs recently.
I even see links to United, and I kind of...
That made no sense to me.
I know, but it would be a total classic United move to do it, too. I feel like United, we are getting Kane, and we need to get another midfielder. Those are the two top priorities. And maybe a young center back, because Maguire ain't it. He started today. But when Varane and Martinez get injured, it's tough. We're playing Luke Shaw at center back instead of Maguire.
You know what? Why not get Busquets to United?
Bro, we do not need all the league or hand-me-downs, bro. Man is like 40.
I mean, so he's Busquets, bro. He doesn't even run like that.
No.
I would love to see either Busquets or Alba United.
Bro, why are you trying to sell these 30-something-year-olds to United? We need young talent
Yeah, but you need the experience too.
We have Casemiro. We don't need a squad full of them.
They've won everything.
We need a striker. We will get Harry Kane because Weghorst has been our striker the whole season, and he has been abysmal. He's like terrible. I'm sorry. He sucks. It's bad. You see another miss. He missed a sitter today again. Like, I feel like every game week he gets a chance to score a goal and he misses. I think, is he better than Malacia?
I don't know. Malacia only had one season so far, so I don't know if I could how to rate him yet. He can. He seems that he would be. That's fine. That's fine. Your left side is the issue.
Yeah, and he's young, and he can fit with Ten Hag. He's not better than Luke Shaw, that's for sure. And Dalot and Wan-Bissaka on the right, they've both been playing well. I mean, Luke Shaw is one of the better center backs in the world, I want to say.
Oh, chill out, chill out, chill out, chill out, chill out. Center back?
He's been... No, left backs.
You said center back. That's what I was about to say.
No, I said left backs. But he's played formidably at the center back position in to cover for Varane and Martinez while they've been injured.
Okay, I heard center back. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying he's one of the best center backs in the world. I'm saying he's one of the best left backs in the world.
The best left backs in the world.
He's one of. I'm not saying he's the best. He's in the. He's this season. He's played to that level.
Yeah, one of is fine. He's not the best. Yeah, one of is fine, but he's not the best for sure.
I think I'd still take Davies over most of anybody.
Yes. It's no. There's no bias here.
No bias.
But yeah, man. Busquets and Alba leaving. Messi does not come back. I'm calling it right now. Barca fans, get ready to get disappointed. You've won the league and you still want Messi back. Like, what is your guys' issue? It's you gotta start building with what you have. You have and you have Balde already. So you're good at left back. You don't need another left back. Well, you got a new one, but like you have the future already. So Alba leaving is fine. Busquets, we'll have to see if they get another midfielder. They're probably going to because it's Barca, but I don't know who replaced Busquets because it's going to be tough to replace.
They need a Van de Beek.
Oh my god, I haven't heard that name in so long. Is he still injured?
Yeah.
That's tough.
It is tough.
You know what? Van de Beek needs the MLS, bro. Come to MLS, Van de Beek. Look at Almiron. Look at what happened when he went to MLS. He balled out and then he got moved. He got the move he wanted. Look at Ricky Puig. Have you seen Ricky Puig right now? For LA Galaxy?
He's doing well.
He's doing okay. They're not winning, but he's playing well. I think they're like last place, but he's been their best player. And Chicharito cannot get a goal.
Montreal won yesterday. How do you feel about Montreal season this year? Because we're kind of middle of the pack, but closer to the bottom than the top.
I think we're still trying to figure out what the coach wants. So we're still sitting consistent.
Are you surprised with Inter Miami's slow start?
Yeah, they also have. I think they might be better than us right now. Yeah, where are we?
They have 15 points, and we have 18 points. We're in ninth; they're in 15th. So the league is pretty close.
I mean, it is still relatively. I guess you could say it's still early. We're like a month or two.
Cincinnati looks dominant, though.
Cincinnati is great. They've had. I mean, the hiring of Pat Noonan has been big for them. And he's been able to build a great program over there. So credit to Cincinnati. I don't think they're better than Philadelphia, though. But
I did not realize that LA Galaxy is like the worst team this year.
Yeah, they can't catch a goal. Like, Chicharito cannot get a goal, bro. Yes, I saw they were playing Charlotte yesterday, and like I looked at the highlights. Like every cross, every happened.
Is one goal.
He only has one.
Yeah, he's got one goal.
The thing is, too, I don't even think he's the best striker in the team. They have this young guy called Jovalic. He's from, I think he's from Serbia, but he used to play for Frankfurt in the U teams. And he went to, he came to LA just because, I guess, playing time. And every time he's played, he scored. He might actually be the better striker over Chicharito, but because they pay Chicharito the big bucks, they have to play him first.
Yeah, and he's kind of got the name, so you kind of want to play him.
Yeah, and with that, too.
Yeah, sure.
You want to talk about that TFC stuff or not? Okay, we'll end on that. TFC drama, because people are, well, let's call it what it is. I'm trying to go back in the timeline here. So they lose to Austin last week, last minute goal. Terrible goal, by the way, but it is what it is. They lost the game. Brandeski comes out, makes some bad comments regarding Bob Bradley, or basically saying that there's no like identity, or the team doesn't have really a philosophy of way of playing. They don't know what they're doing right now. And then Bob Bradley during the week calls him out in the comments, basically saying that he shouldn't have said that. That should have been kept indoors, and that he basically shouldn't have just said those comments. And then apparently there was a meeting where a team meeting where Bradley called him out on it. And then I think Bernardeschi said something. I can't remember what he said. And eventually Michael Bradley got involved. And if you guys don't know, Michael Bradley is Bud Bradley's son, former U.S. international. has been at TFC for a while now, so he's very he's a respected figure in the team. Like he's a squad captain for a reason, right? I have a picture with him too. So shout out Michael Bradley. So I think he was trying to like call him out or defend his coach, aka his dad. And then Bernardeschi would basically say, "Of course you would say that because you're his son." So it's like it makes sense. And then Martin Ike got involved, and then he said that you're his other son. So it's basically everybody is Marky Bradley's son except for Bernardeschi, ironically. So then there seems to be some beef there, and then he doesn't like Insigne apparently. Like I thought they were cool because obviously they're both Italian international. They've been to Serie A and all this, and et cetera. But apparently they're not as cool as we thought. He tried to get a new contract for this season, didn't get it. He wasn't happy about it. He was trying to get paid like Insigne money, and they weren't. Toronto wasn't willing to give him that. And then like Insigne got sent to like the media day for MLS, and Bernardeschi wasn't really happy about that. I don't know why, because that's just more trouble. That's just more work for you that you have to do. I don't know why you wanted to go for that. And then, you know OVO, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Drake's brand. So apparently there's a collab with OVO and Insigne, and Bernardeschi wanted to have his own collab with them, but then that didn't happen, and he wasn't happy about that either. So it's like, there's a lot of things happening where Bernardeschi doesn't seem to be happy. I don't see how he stays for the rest of the season. At some point, he's going to probably leave. He didn't play yesterday. They beat DC. He didn't play at all. Insigne did play, though. I think he had an assist. But I don't see how he stays more than, like, I don't think he stays after the summer.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah, especially with the transfer window, like, opening soon. It just hasn't been. The thing is, he's had a good start. Like, last year, it was kind of promising. It looked good. He had a couple good moments. But overall, this season hasn't been very great for them. And they can't miss the playoff for like the second year in a row. Well, for like the third year in a row now, I think. So
yeah, they've been kind of at the bottom of the table for a while now.
In terms of the Canadian teams, it's between them and Vancouver as the worst. Montreal is probably the best one. So considering last year's accomplishments, credit to Wilfried Nancy.
Vancouver starting strong, though.
I still don't know how Montreal let go of Wilfried Nancy, but that's different story for a different day.
That's surprising, but
Columbus Crew is driving as well. They're doing well.
They're good every year.
They're good every year. So is Philadelphia. I still can't call it who's gonna win it this year. I feel like Philly's gonna be a strong contender again. I don't know who the West is gonna look like. Maybe LA again.
Seattle's starting pretty strong too.
Well, Seattle has been dominant since like they got into the league, so you can never sleep on them.
Do you think do you think there's going to be another expansion team?
There's one that got announced for San Diego in 2024, I think.
San Diego's sick, because they have only 29 teams in the league right now. I think they wanted even 30, right? Eventually, maybe even 32.
Yeah. Yeah, St. Louis came in this year doing well, too. They started very well. But San Diego is the next one.
Yeah, that makes sense. Another Cali team.
You gotta go watch a game in Cali. I'm down once I get a budget. You fly me out to either one.
You can fly yourself out. I've offered before. You ain't getting back to me, so.
You're right. All right. I'll fly you out if you fly me out. How about that?
Yeah, sure. Okay, sounds good. All right.
You don't look too convinced.
That makes no sense. All right, before we end it, I want to ask you your predictions for the FA Cup final next week.
City 3-1.
3-1 City. I think 2-1 United in penalties.
You think it's going to go all the way down to penalties? Yikes. Okay. And De Gea saved the day.
I think one of the City players is missing. He's hitting a field goal.
Not Haaland.
I think I could see like a Grealish.
Gundogan.
No, Gundogan's going to nail it.
Ronaldo Silva.
I can see Ronaldo Silva. I can see Gundogan missing too. He recently missed one.
I think if it happens, it's probably gonna be Ronaldo Silva.
Yeah, and I think Man City beat Inter like 3-1, 4-1.
I'm gonna say 1-0.
Inter might not even get a goal, but Ederson never keeps a clean sheet, so I always give one goal to the opponent. It's true. He cannot keep a clean sheet.
he's such a Henderson hater. But the stats don't lie. The stats don't lie.
Exactly. The stats do not lie.
The stats don't lie. Okay. I'm saying 2-1. 2-1 City.
It's not going to be close, dude. I'm telling you, it's not going to be close. But all right. I think that's going to wrap it up this week. Episode 90 in the books. 10 more until we hit 100. Road to 100. Hopefully the next time we record, we're talking about a Man United win in the FA Cup. But probably not, but we'll see. I have hope. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Appreciate the support. We made it this far. We love you. And we hope to see you next time. Make sure you drop a follow on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, @ForwardPressPod, @Forward_Pressing. We'll see you there. Yes, links in the description. And we'll see you next time. Peace.